Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
You know, he says, if you have a hunger and thirst after righteousness, that he will fill you. Amen. And that's your obligation to have a hunger. It's your obligation to draw. It's your obligation to come to the house of God, hungering and thirsting for his word. Amen. And he'll satisfy you. I say so oftentimes, you put all the expectations on the preacher, and you should in some perspectives, mostly on God. But what I'm saying is, mainly put expectations on where you've been, what you've been drawing, what you've been doing, and God will help you. He'll come. He'll speak to you and through you. I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy this morning. Okay, 2 Timothy, the third chapter. Let's go right to the first part of that chapter. It says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For this sort they which creep into houses and led captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And brothers and sisters, when we read the scriptures like this, you know, sometimes we look down at this thing and we're looking at it as some kind of a past tense event or some kind of thing. But this is written, as we went back over here to the first verse, it says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times. Now we know that these spirits have been manifesting for many years. And you say, well, the last days. Well, the day of the Lord is 1,000 years. The last days, you say. And we see that this passage of scriptures would be so evident and so apparent in our day and in our hour, within our lives, and within the people and things around about us. I want to think here for a moment over on verse 5 here of 2 Timothy 3. It says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, you know, many times we have an idea of what we think that power is. You know, in our Pentecostal circles, you know, we say, well, the power of God is being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Well, the Bible did teach them to go and to be endued with power, amen, and to tarry there until they were endued with power. And we found this taking place when we refer back to the scriptures and the Word of God about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, amen. But if we would absolutely just stop at that kind of thought, you know, then we're going to put the power of God into this one event. We're going to take it in many of our Pentecostal churches. They take the infilling of the Holy Ghost and the power of God, and they make it into one isolated little event of you having this power come on you and you speak in tongues. But I like to grow in the grace and knowledge of God and come to an understanding. I don't want to be one that's having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. You say, what would that be, Brother Rob? There's people that go through the motions. They go through the ritualistics. They think they have godliness because they attend church. They think they have godliness because they're a member in a church, because they frequent the house of God and go to these places. You know, and there's so many people, you know, depending on what the denomination we're looking at. Some of the Pentecostals, I could say they take a form of godliness. You know, well, we go to church, the rain comes down, we speak in tongues, we praise God. That could be a form of godliness, you know, and really denying the power thereof. When we think of being endued with power, when we think of the power of God, is the power of God just to take maybe captive our vocal utterances and speak in some unknown language? You know, which profits the church none, according to the scriptures. It does build us up in our innermost strength, innermost faith. It does teach us to fight. And it's a good thing to be strengthened in a prayer language or a prayer life. But we even need to be careful. You know, some think that a prayer language should never go forth in a church unless there's an interpretation. There is some truth, yes, in that. If it's in the perspective of taking, you know, if one stands up in the service according to Corinthians and they stand up and they speak in tongues, you know, like that and take service, well, then it tells them to be quiet, to sit down and be quiet, lest there be an interpretation. But on the other hand, you could find that men filled with the Holy Ghost might pray in the Spirit and building up and strengthening that and yielding over to that inner quickening of the Spirit of God, that it will no longer be them speaking, but God speaking through them. And so oftentimes we get these ideas of the mind of God. Some think that they have to be a prophecy. Some would think there has to be a tongue and an interpretation to hear God speak. But according to the Scriptures, it's no longer the man speaking, but Christ speaking, or God speaking through him. Amen. And this is what we yield to, is to the voice of God. But speaking of the power of God, you know, so many times we have to find out what is the power of God. Now, as I've started reading the Scriptures here, we talk about in the last days, perilous times, and we're seeing another power. We're seeing another power that it's speaking about. Now, I would tell you one thing: if you have the power of God, you're going to find that it's going to be against these kind of things that we hear. You know, lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, unto parents, unthankful, unholy. Now, if I was going to expound on every single one of those things, you're going to see that we're in a generation of time that that's more apparent than anything. I shared it with you not many days back about a little video clip that somebody sent me. I know this would look to appear to be to the extreme side, but it shows us really where we're at. And if you would look at this, you could find it within your own members and maybe within your own flesh or maybe within your own families. I remember this little clip, and it was a little girl raised up in a very wealthy home, and her father had bought her for her birthday. I think it was her 16th birthday, and bought her a brand new Lexus. But this father bought this girl a brand new Lexus, so they had this thing sitting out in the front yard with the little bow, and the camera's set up on the thing, you know, and this little girl comes out, and she threw a fit, started crying, and throwing a fit because it was the wrong color. Man, that's sad. You know, we could laugh about something like that, but that is sad. I told you this. I said, I know what I would have done as a dad. Say, oh, honey, I am so sorry I didn't get you the color that you wanted. Let me go take care of that now for you. And I would take that thing back down there to the dealership, and I would have brought her back a 10-speed bicycle with that color maybe, or a tricycle, one she couldn't even ride. I said, here you go. Here's the color that you wanted. And you say, what are you saying, Brother Rob? I'm talking about unthankful. We're in a generation of time of unthankfulness. I could take you in so many dimensions of a thought of this. You know, I think about men, you know, that have sacrificed and made sacrifices for this country even. If I wanted to speak in a political aspect, if I wanted to speak to you this morning, when we think of, you know, as an American, we might say, not speaking as a son of God, but just as an American. You know, and there's people that are unthankful for the bloodshed of men of past that have fought for this land and for this country, foreign soils, and shed blood. They're unfaithful. We stand as Americans and allow them what we call freedom of speech to take and burn a flag that people were on foreign soils dying for. You see, the unthankful people. And we make allowances for that. Ungodly. It's ungodliness, brothers and sisters. I'm not sitting here trying to encourage you to be some patriotic or whatever for those things. I'm not of this world. I'm of God. There is a world government, and there's a government of God. I've yielded over to the government of God. I've yielded to the Holy Ghost, to the Spirit of God. Amen. But still in that kind of thing, we still got to be very careful. Because if I'm speaking, you say, well, America's gone, the nation's gone. You know, the Lord suffers that. Yes, He has His way in all things. He has a way in showing those things. Just as He has a way in showing a child so unthankful that would cry out against a gift of such. You know, as I say, when we've gone into Mexico, you give a little child a $2 gift, and you couldn't get the smile on a child's face in the United States unless it was a $200 gift like that. We come to a place of unthankful, rich, proud, heady, high-minded. The way children speak to parents and talk to parents now, it's unreal. I shared a story with you when I was in a post office not too many days back, and I'm standing in line. I got some little 6-year-old child standing in front of me with her mother. She looks up at her mom and says, I hate cops. You take a little child, express to mom, I hate cops. You know what that's going to turn into? She's going to hate her parents. She's going to hate God. She's going to hate all authority and everything when a little child is allowed to express that kind of thing. But mama done nothing about it. Mama said nothing about it. You know, I'm thinking, wow. See, sometimes we fail to look and really see what's happening in our midst. We don't really look and see what this is causing or what's the outcome of such a thing. You could look at it and say, well, it's really no big deal. Just a little child. It's just really innocent. No, that's the breeding ground of demon spirits. That's the breeding ground of mind and thoughts. The Bible said, let this mind be in us. Amen. The same mind that was in Christ Jesus. And when we see that kind of disrespect And if you allow that kind of disrespect for authority or for whatever it is, it's going to come up against in everything. Sometimes parents teach children to be disrespectful for things that they don't like. And what they got to be careful is that same disrespect will come over towards their place one day. We teach honor and we teach respect, amen. We got to find what is being endued with the power of God. What does it mean, a form of godliness? Are we just churchgoers and people can say, oh, he's a Christian? You know, do we see Christ in our conversations? Do we see Christ in the way we live? Do we see Christ in our actions? Do we see Christ when they do wrong or try to harm us? Do we see Christ in return to those things? Science or whatever, you know, they talk about actions and reactions and laws. You know, things go up, they come down. Do you realize that there's laws that we as the sons of God and Christians that we have to apply? And we're not like a man. We're not supposed to be like a man. We don't answer evil with evil, fire with fire. According to the gospel, we don't do that. And God will allow these things to come to us for we could express and show godliness and power. You see, when somebody does ill to you, or somebody harms you, or somebody's evil to you and you return for the same thing, do you realize that you just denied the power of God? And you feel justified in it. You think, well, this guy done me wrong and he's not right, so I've got the right to treat him this way. You know, women, husband don't do right, so they think, well, he's the one that's not right, so I've got a right. I'm not going to fix his dinner tonight. I'm not going to make his bed. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. That's not right. When do you take that kind of an action as a woman? When does a man take that kind of an action? You see, we're not expressing the godliness. We're not expressing the power of God. You know, I know there's chastening of the Lord. I know that when you're a father, you know, there's a time that you've got to take authority and you've got to take and bring forth even judgment or chastening. We have a heavenly Father that does the same thing. Amen? And we've got to learn to watch and to expect. Some of you was here this morning for prayer. You know, and I said, bring the judgment, bring the chastening. You know, you say the Bible says that judgment begins in the house of God. Why would you pray like that? Because we got people that are walking in the clutches of satanic power. And if the chastening of the Lord and the rod of correction could drive that spirit of foolishness far from a man or a woman, then that's the way we should pray. You know, oh, bless them, Lord God. Oh, help them, Lord God. The Bible talks about praying for them and bringing down this fire upon their heads. You say, man, you need to be careful, preacher, how you pray. Bring it on yourself. I've been there. I've been through the fire, brothers and sisters. Amen. And I love the Lord. Amen. I love the Lord. I thank God that he chastens them that he loves. Amen. I thank God for the chastening of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And it yields forth and brings forth fruit of righteousness. Amen. You know, as that little child was in the post office, you know, am I some kind of an evil person? I wish that mother would have slapped that kid across the face. Am I just kind of somebody that just thrusts and thrills with, you know, with this kind of brutality and force or whatever? No. But you see, I look beyond the veil of a little child doing that, whether it's a demon spirit that is going to take and get a foothold in a little child's life. And you say, well, I don't think a little child could get possessed or a demon spirit or whatever. Well, then why did the Bible say that the rod of correction will drive that spirit of foolishness? Somebody tell me what a spirit of foolishness is. Is that the spirit of Christ? Is the spirit of foolishness God? You know, no, we know it's not. So if the rod of correction is going to drive that spirit, this is what we have to do is take our part. As a parent, use the rod of correction because we look beyond that, what it's going to turn into and what's going to happen and what it's going to have. When you hate police, you're not going to submit to them. And she'll find herself being under the rod of correction of the law of the land. Brother Pike used to say, they'll bring the billy clubs out. You're going to submit. People that don't want to submit to authority, they don't want to submit to the authority of the ministry, they don't want to submit to the authority of God, they don't want to submit to the authority of the laws of the land. We're in a time and a day and hour of that. People don't want to submit to anything. They don't want to submit a husband to a wife to a husband, the lay people to the minister, the people to God. These are all manifestations. You say, well, I don't have to submit to a minister. Well, if you can't submit to a minister, the Bible says you can't submit to God that you cannot see if you can't submit to the man. So we got to understand the word of God. So these things are just apparent. If you can't submit to the headship of the authority of the house of God, you surely not submitted to God. People try to bypass the ministry of God. You say, what are you doing, Brother Rob? Are you going to try to make us submit to you? No, I'm trying to submit to you. I'm trying to submit to your needs this morning. I'm trying to submit to your weaknesses and the things where you're failing at this morning. You know, we submit one to another. I don't try to dictate and rule over people's lives and take their sovereignties away, but I am called to lead people into the kingdom of God. And when I see somebody turn to the right or turn to the left, it's my responsibility to raise up my voice like a trumpet. It's my responsibility. The Bible says, woe unto him that holds the sword back from blood. You know, do you realize the authority of the gospel? Do you realize the authority of the ministry of God? You know, it brings us to remembrance of Ananias and Sapphira coming into the house of God and lying against the spirit of truth and fell over dead in the church for lying to the ministers of God. Fell over dead. Amen. You know, there's authority and there's power in the spirit of God. The ministry, in many cases in this day, they've denied the power of God. You know, and again, in the Pentecostal realms, well, the power of God is when we lay hands on the sick and they recover. The power of God, that's the power of God. And I say, yea and amen. But there's a demonstrated power of God in an overcoming life, a life of endurance. Amen. You might go around through the world laying hands on people and seeing eyes open, seeing ears open, seeing lame get up and walk and doing those things. Praise God. But you know, there's many that were like in that kind of shape, and they stood before the Lord and he said, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Depart from me. You know, the Bible says if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, what has it profited you? You know, we understand that. But what is it if you go around laying hands on people all over the world and you see the healing virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of God move and you lose your soul? What did that profit you? Nothing. You say, well, I know that this man's full of the Holy Ghost because he's doing that. You don't know nothing. Just because those things are happening. That's why the Lord said, I never knew you. I never knew you. I never knew you. Oh yeah, you were using my name. You were casting out devils in my name. You were laying hands on the sick and they recovered. Yes, you prophesied. But he said, I never knew you. So you see, we take and say, well, the power of God is the gifts of God. Well, the gifts come to the unjust. The gifts of God come to the unjust and the just. Do you ever think of what an unjust individual is? Is the Son of God unjust? It can't be, can it? The Bible says, speaking about we as the sons of God, it says that we're justified. So we're not unjust. We're justified by the works of Jesus Christ at Calvary. So we're not the unjust. But you see, the rain comes on the unjust and the just. It comes on the wheat and it comes on the tare. So many times we use the weather out here for an example. You know, and you be in here saying, man, things are getting dried out, you know. Think of the hot summertime and different things. Things are getting dry. You say, man, Lord, send some rain. My garden's drying up. You know, the grasses are drying up. Send the rain, Lord God. So he sends the rain. You think, praise God. You know, Lord, could you hold it back from the sumac? Could you hold it back from the poison oak? Could you hold it back from them weeds in my garden? You know, when that garden's getting the nourishment of that water, man, and growing up, you think, man, look at that fruit. Look at them vegetables. Look at that stuff coming forth. The same thing you could be looking over and say, man, look at them tares coming up. Man, look at those weeds coming up. Man, they're receiving the rain. And it's the same way in the house of God. The rain of God's coming and falls in the house of God. People are prophesying. People are speaking in tongues. People are casting out devils. People are receiving healing. But see, many times it's the unjust. An uncertain sound is what it is. The Bible talks about similar spirits, familiar spirits. You see, sometimes people are looking at something that's similar, familiar, but it's not the Spirit of God. There's people that are led by familiar spirits. They're led by similar spirits. There's people that are led by preachers that are preaching the gospel, and it sounds like God. It sounds like godliness. It sounds like a message, and they're being led by it, but somewhere in they've denied the power of God. Do you realize the problem of that in this day and hour? The denial of the power of God in our lives? The denial of the power of God in the churches? You say, I don't know, brother. Well, we got to take this word for yea and amen. In the last times. Perilous times. It talks about these things. Bible says it's a small flock and few be there that find it. Righteous scarcely making it. We go to the patterns and we look and we see all through time that it was a very small number. How come the boat wasn't big enough to bring all of the people of the world into it? Because the Lord knew that it was just going to be a small number as they all walked by and mocked him as he was building this boat. They mocked by and laughed and they were in love with the world and they didn't have time for God. They were given to marriage and given to all the things. That's the way it says to be in this time. People don't have time for God. They don't have time to love the Lord. They don't have time to worship God. They try to work God into their schedule, into their careers, into their life. You're not going to ever have God that way. God isn't just standing there waiting for us to maybe work him in. You know, when you're going to have the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in love with him. He's your God, your King, and your Lord. You're submitted unto him. You become as a child. The Bible says you become as a child to enter into the kingdom of God. You know, a child doesn't dictate to its parents. Hey, Dad, I know it's kind of late, 10:30. I'm heading over to Billy's house next door. Little six-year-old talking. Okay, go ahead, little buddy. It don't work that way, does it? Hey, son, it's late. You ain't going nowhere at 10:30 at night. Get in your room. Get to bed. Well, we got to become like that to enter into the kingdom of God. Well, God's not going to do that to us. He's not. Command thou me, Lord Jesus. You say, well, I can command God. You ain't going to do it through some kind of arrogance and haughtiness. Oh, yes, we can command the power of God to move in our midst and to set captives free and different things. Yes, I understand that. There's a misunderstanding in many times. Well, yeah, we go before him, come to the throne boldly through faith and grace. Amen. But the thing is, brothers and sisters, we also enter in with a fear and a reverence and a humility before the Lord and knowing that we're nothing without him. When we take authority over something, we're not taking authority of who we are, we're taking authority of who he is. And we're expressing the authority. If I was a police officer or a sheriff or whatever, and I went to your home and I said, I'm here to serve you papers, sir, you're under arrest. I'm not doing it in my authority, and I'm not doing it within the authority of the gun on my side or the billy club hanging on my side. I'm doing it with the authority of that law. I'm doing it with the authority when they put that badge on me that I had to stand in authority to honor the laws that the people had put down. And that's the authority that you do it in. Those other things are there to back up that authority if they don't want to yield to that kind of an authority. That's what the billy club's for, or the gun is for. You understand that? And it's the same thing with the Lord. We yield to the authority of God. We yield to the power of God. We yield to the mind of God, the mind of Christ. Do you realize that we've got to figure out what kind of mind are we in? What kind of thoughts are we in? What kind of voice is talking to me in my head? I know when I listen to the things that I teach and the things that I say, you know, if we had a medical science or medical doctor in the presence, goes, man, this guy's teaching, you know, that these people are schizophrenic. They got, you know, more than one personality, you know, but we got to go to the scriptures. We got to stay at the word of God. It says, cast down every thought and every vain imagination that would exalt itself before God. Well, what are we casting down? Are we casting down my thoughts, God's thoughts, the devil's thoughts? Which one? It might be your thoughts. It might be the devil's thoughts. Your mind is contrary to God's mind. Your ways is contrary to God's ways. So we got to learn to be in a continual warfare. We got to learn to yield to what kind of thoughts we yield to. So I said, let this mind be in you, the mind of Christ, not the mind of man. The mind of man is in there, brothers and sisters. But are you yielding to it? Are you listening to it? Is it setting your life? Is it setting your course? The problem is we want to take our mind and make it religious. We want to make it have a form of godliness. You know, and we want our mind. You know, well, I learned this scripture in my mind and my thoughts, and I'm going to quote that. That's a form of godliness. Well, are you against learning the scriptures and quoting the word? No. But we need the spirit of the word, not the letter of the law. Not just have some kind of quote in our head, you know, and say the right things. Oh, I'm a Christian. I said the sinner's prayer in 1919. Oh, I'm a Christian filled with the Holy Ghost. I spoke in tongues in, you know, 1933. You know, who cares? We want the power of God, the demonstration of the Spirit, the power to keep us, the power to set us apart, the power to come out of the world, the power to be a separate people. Amen? The power to walk upright in righteousness, the power to deny fleshly lust, a power to deny the things of this world. Now we're talking about being endued with power. The power is not for a form of godliness. A power is not to look religious or talk religious or think religious. It's the power to keep us, the power to stand upright, the power to bring forth righteousness and holiness and godliness. Amen? These are the attributes of sons of God. These are the attributes of Christianity. The attributes of Christianity is to walk in the power of the gospel. So again, do we find this today? Do we find that the average Christian people today are denying the power of God? I remember meeting a man out here on the back steps of this church, and he started talking about a man that he ran into. He started cursing me, and he started doing this. This man ain't right with God, this and that. See, as a preacher, I could have got on board with him. Oh yeah, the man ain't right. You know, oh, what a wretched guy he is. I can't believe he talked to you like that, brother. See, wouldn't have done that man any good. This man already had viciousness in him. He already had venom in him. He already had bitterness working and wearing on him. It wouldn't have been good for me to answer him that way. I would have thought, well, man, praise God, man. Lord prepared his heart to do that. I don't believe that. Well, the preparation of man's heart's from God. You think it's only for the good things? I could take you to the scriptures and show you that the preparation of Pharaoh not letting Moses out of Egypt was from God. It's what the Bible teaches. He said he went and hardened Pharaoh's heart. The same time he told Moses, go and free the people, and went over and hardened Pharaoh's heart. It was the preparation of God to harden his heart, for they wouldn't let go. That don't make sense, you might say. Makes perfect sense. If there wouldn't have been a resistance to let the people go, they would have never saw the demonstration of the power of God. That's why God has his way in the good and the evil. There's evil things that come your way, and your direction is for God to show that he has all power and authority over evil. You see, if you have a form of godliness, you don't have the authority and the power over evil. But when you have God and you have the power of God and you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, you've got this demonstrated power over the evil. So as this man said, I told him, I said, man, that was the preparation. The man's heart was from God. And the guy looked at me like, what's wrong with you? And I said, it gave you the perfect time to show long-suffering. Give you the perfect attribute to show the attribute of God of being gentle and kind. Amen? How am I going to show long-suffering and gentleness? How am I going to be good to somebody that despitefully uses me unless something like this comes my way? But we as Christians, we say, oh, this ain't right. Man, this guy is not right. And we think that we could treat them ill or treat them bad or do something wrong because they're the ones that's not right. I'm innocent. Why didn't the Lord Jesus do that? He knew who he was. Why didn't he call down a host of angels when they were nailing him to the cross? But why did he say, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they do? He was demonstrating power over the flesh, power over the man. He was demonstrating that to us. Father, forgive them, they don't know what they do. Is that in your spirit? Or are you denying that? You say, Lord, I want to be a soul winner. I want to win souls into the kingdom of God. I want to be recognized in this such a thing. Well, guess what soul winners do? They get crucified. Jesus is the firstborn of many brethren. He got crucified. And in the crucifixion, we found what? The power of God. The power over death. We found the power over the flesh, the power over the man, the power over that. So what's he going to do if you want to be a soul winner today? You say, surely not, Brother Rob. Yes, you'll be crucified. The Bible said we're crucified all the day long. It said they're going to hate you because they hated him first. They're going to hate you also. Oh, but we like this Christianity message that we just prance down along with the dignitaries and we prance around with the presidents and we prance around with them and everybody likes us. That's not the Christianity of the Bible. When you're preaching the gospel and you're making a stand for the word of God, you're not going to be popular and you're not going to be liked. I've been fired from one job in my life. And it was because of one thing and one thing only, is my testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord showed me that this was what was going to happen. And the Lord showed me that the man was going to lie. So I went to the secretary in this business and I asked him to pull up my sales and that I would know where I stood. Out of four people hired, I was the highest of the four in sales. And I was the only one that got fired. And I knew why I got fired. Because I was a man that was full of the Holy Ghost and walking in the demonstrated power of God. Not in some kind of a self-righteousness, but the man was a pervert and filthy, the manager. And I wouldn't sit with his perversion and filth. You know, sometimes people will sell out the power of God for they can keep a job. But you know what? When you lose a job because of your testimony for Christ, I'll tell you something. The Lord had another one for me the next day, back in where I was more comfortable and doing what I loved to do. I was back at the airport working on aircraft the next day. The very next day. So the Lord suffered it. But he gave me an opportunity to show the demonstrated power of God. When he called me into his office, I said, I know what I'm here for, sir. I didn't even give him a chance to speak. And he looked at me, what are you here for? I'm here because you're going to fire me. And you're going to tell me that my sales are down and I'm not keeping them. He said, well, that's right. And I said, but I'm here to let you know that my sales are better than all the other four because I've already checked into it. And I said, the thing is you're firing me because of my testimony for Jesus Christ. But I love you and I appreciated the job and thank you very much. And I walked out. Amen. What kind of God are we serving? He has his way in all things. Amen. It was such a blessing. Oh, yes, I had a little family, young kids and different things at home. Oh, yes, I needed a job. Amen. But somewhere we're going to have faith and stand with the power of God, stand with the word of God and quit compromising and quit allowing the foolishness of the things of occupations or whatever it is to dictate our lives. Amen. We're spirit led by the Spirit of God. We walk in the Spirit. Amen. And we have an expectation. If your job causes you to resist the godliness and the things of God, then you need another one. Man, it's a bad economy, Brother Rob. Things are kind of tough right now. I don't think it would be a good idea. Well, it sure wouldn't be a good idea for you to gain this whole world with your occupation and your job and lose your soul. Amen. I'll tell you what, my God is a provider. He's a supplier. He will make a way when there appears to be no way. He'll open up the floodgates of heaven. Amen. He can take an egg and make it into dozens of them, or a fish and make it into enough to feed a multitude. Amen. Amen. He could take a little bit of bread and feed a multitude. And you know, we need to know that He's the same to every generation, the same God. And you say, wow, Brother Rob, do you really believe that? I say, yes, sir. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. He's made a way. I just trust Him. I remember when we was in Mexico and the Lord said, don't do that. Don't count your money. Just do what I sent you to do. And there was some that was with me. They said, man, I've never seen so many $100 bills come out of a man's pocket in my life. People would come up and said, sir, man, my family's down here, this and that. Here's a $100 bill. Somebody come up, another $100 bill. Another $100 bill. Another $100 bill. Another $100 bill. And we just kept doing and kept giving. He said, don't, just go do what I told you to do. See, that's when I didn't reason. I didn't figure. Man, all I got is five loaves and two fishes. Man, there's a whole multitude. No, just what do I said? Take the baskets and start passing them out. There was no lack. Have you ever been to a place like that? So then the people are lining up at the door and we're giving them benevolence and giving them food and different things. And the sister started counting. Brother Randall come in here and said, oh, don't do that, man. The Lord told Brother Rob not to count, not to do anything. Just start giving it out. And the people kept coming. Some of them come through and they got back in line again. And they came through again and got back in line again. We tried to keep order and they kept coming. They kept coming. They kept coming. They kept coming. And when we got done, there was 12 baskets left. There was. I mean, there was baskets of stuff left over because we said, okay, Lord, do you believe in the power of God? You said, oh, it's probably coincidence. I'm sure it was to you. I know that there's a supernatural God that we live and serve. And there's many times that we deny the power of the supernatural because we lean to our own understanding, to our own belief. But sometimes God's going to take it and put us in a position or into a place that we know that we can't make it. I mean, I could testify to the exploit last Christmas. It was probably one of the toughest trips we've ever made, brother. Finances were tough. Lord said, go. Okay, here we go. And I mean, the enemy fought. The van didn't get 50 miles out of town, blew the rear end in. Oh my, here's another expense, man. It's going to cost $1,000 to rent a van now to get these people down there. God made a way. I was making preparations to get a van. Another company stands up and says, hey, we'll take care of that. Why did they take care of that? Why did they do that? And you say, oh, the Spirit of God. And I say, yay and amen. But it's because we were out there going. If we would have never went out and let the lack of finances and the lack of those things convince us that we couldn't go, we never would have saw the provisions of God. Why did the Jordan separate and they go across on dry ground? It's because they took up the Ark of the Covenant and they started going. And when their feet got down there to the water, but if they would have sat back and watching and saying, well, as soon as that thing parts, we'll go, they'd still be sitting there. They would have already perished waiting. Do you realize that? They would have perished waiting. But they went and the Lord moved. How many times have you heard me say that God moves when you're in the move? You're going to move. Sometimes He's going to require of you to take the first step. Too many times people sit back and pray. Well, Lord, I'm going to go preach the gospel for you as soon. Just as soon, Lord God, as you pay off this over here, and just as soon as you do this, and just as soon as you do that. That rascal will never preach the gospel. He'll be bouncing around and maybe doing a little bit here, but be like a man running and beating at the air and accomplishing nothing. When I hear a minister say something like that, boy, I just back off and say, uh-oh. I remember sharing the story with you. A preacher called me up, and man, I'll tell you what, he said, I'm going to be a millionaire here within 60 days. And he goes, boy, just as soon, brother. He goes, look, if you would send me $10,000, man, it'll turn into $100,000 within 60 days. And he goes, boy, just as soon as this thing comes through, I'm going to start visiting churches. And boy, when he said that, man, the Spirit of the Lord just said, uh-oh. And even if it was a prosperous thing, and even it was a legit thing, when he said, just as soon as that happens, as soon as that happens, I'm going to go preach the gospel. That's when God stepped in and he said, I'm not going to allow this to happen. I'm going to blow on this. I'm going to curse this thing. And it didn't happen. And the man lost his money and many other people's money. Why? Because he put something before God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things would be added. If the man had been out there preaching the gospel and trying to do something for God. But many times you get something like that and you say, because of my great mind, because of my great wisdom, because of my great understanding, you know, I'm out here preaching the gospel because I know how to save and I know how to pay my bills and I know how to have good interest and I know how to do this. That's why I'm preaching the gospel. God gets no glory in that. God wants to take a man and raise him up and send him forth. Amen. We could testify the fact we're sitting in a building. I know it's not much. It's the Lord's. I rejoice. Amen. How many times did the brethren come to me? How much is it going to cost, brother? I don't know. We don't have no money. Let's just build it. So we dig a hole. The Lord moves on a man's heart and he brings a load of block out here. We pour cement in it. We build the blocks. The Lord made a way. God moves in the midst of things. Brother Pike talked about God moving in bankers' hearts. He said, you know, God might add an increase in that man's life. He might save one of his children from the perils of death or whatever because he yielded over and helped the man of God. The Bible says friends of the bridegroom. You say, I don't know if things work that way. Well, the Bible said if you give a prophet a glass of water, you become partakers with his reward. Don't you believe in what the Bible says? You know, we need to be busy about the word and about God's business. And we need to be busy doing things and expecting things. If we do something, we need to do it with an expectation that it's going to move the heavens. Don't you know that the woman with the issue of blood, you know why she received healing to her body? Because she went forth believing and expecting. She didn't go, well, maybe if I get over there, maybe he'll heal my body. Well, if I could get over there, just maybe by him, he might touch me. No, she didn't say that. She said, if I could just touch his garment, if I could just touch it, then I'll be healed. She touched it and she was healed. She went with an expectation. Do you go into a business endeavor with an expectation? Do you go with an expectation that God's going to bless it? Do you go and expect God to move in your behalf? If your wife is lost, if your mom's lost, if your dad's lost, if your husband's lost, do you speak with the expectation that God is going to move in your midst and power your words? And it's not going to be you speaking, but God speaking. There's going to be a quickening spirit. It's going to move down in their heart and it's going to stir them. You see, it's just a matter of faith. It's a matter of believing. It's a matter of trusting. But he's going to allow the adversities. He's going to allow the things in your life to happen for you could take dominion and authority over it. That you could demonstrate the power of God. That you're not guilty of denying the power of God. You say, God, I believe. God, you can do. You can do all things, Lord God. Your arm's not short. There's nothing too big for you. The Bible says that you could take the impossible things and make it possible. Sometimes God allows us to come to a place that we just are wore out. I don't know what I could do anymore. I'm not sure. And that's a good place to come. You say, okay, God, I'm going to call on you now. God, you're going to have to move in my midst. You're going to have to empower me. Lord, I don't know what to do, but I'm calling on your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding, Lord God. Fill me with your power. Fill me with your spirit. Be ready. He's going to allow things to happen for you to show the demonstration of his love. For you to show the demonstration of his spirit, you're going to get spit upon. You're going to get mocked. You're going to get ridiculed. You're going to hate you. So what his word says, they hated him first, going to hate you also. You're going to suffer for his name's sake. Are you willing to suffer that someone else could live? Are you willing to suffer that somebody else could have life? The Bible said to equip yourself with the mind of suffering. Oh, I don't believe that. We had a preacher come right here in this church. He said, if your preacher's preaching a gospel of suffering and tells you to suffer, he said, you need to run from that church. I guess y'all didn't listen to him because everybody would have ran because I preach suffering. That's what my Bible teaches. Well, I believe in the love of God and the power of God and that God wants to bless us and God wants us to be rich and prosper. And I preach that too. Naturally speaking, the Bible said all the unseen things of the spirit world are revealed by the things that appear. And in the realms of this world, you'll see a man that has provisions and things. And you know why? Because he works. He's an entrepreneur. He works and he presses. And another man has nothing because he doesn't. Okay, so what are you saying, Brother Rob? And the same way in the spiritual realms. The unseen things of the spirit world are revealed to us by what we see. It's the same way. You've got to learn to apply. Press. People see you starting to do works. Say, oh, I'm saved by grace through faith, not by works. I say, yes, so am I. But that salvation I gained, amen, by the works of Jesus Christ, put something in my spirit. It put the Holy Ghost in there. And you know how you know the Holy Ghost is there? By my works. So if you don't have works, you ain't of God. If you ain't got works, you don't have the spirit of God. But see, they take a truth and they pervert it into a lie. That preacher's preaching works. I preach works every time I get behind the sacred desk. I preach works, and I'm going to continue to preach works, and I'm going to praise God for the works of Christ. Amen. We could look for the fruit of repentance through their actions and through their works. Amen. We could look and see the works of Christ through the works that are manifesting in it. But you're not saved by those works. You're saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because he saved you before you ever walked in this earth. He put your name in the book of life before you ever was here. So how could you boast that you're saved because you're a good person or because you pray or because you walk upright? No, that happened in foreknowledge and predestination. It happened in Christ. But the thing is you got to bring forth the predestinated works of Christ in your life. What is that, Brother Rob? To conform to the image of God. That's what the Bible teaches. You have to conform to the image of God. That's the whole purpose he granted you the Holy Ghost, to conform to the image of God. Well, what does that mean, Brother Rob? You're going to walk like Christ. You're going to talk like Christ. You're going to speak like Christ. And it's going to be no longer you living, but now Christ living in you. Amen. That's a son of God. The Bible said the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Now we could talk about being led by the spirit of man and by the spirit of flesh and by the spirit of the devil. And we could read right there all the attributes of the things that we see in the children of disobedience right there. We could see and read in Galatians the 5th chapter what man is, how he lives, how he talks, and how he thinks. But we could go over and also read what sons of God are and how they live and how they think. Amen? Which one are you? Well, I hope and pray you say that I'm a son of God. Well, how do you make that calling and that election sure? By yielding your members to the Holy Ghost and to the Spirit of God. The Bible said it's whoever you yield your members to. If you yield your members to the flesh, the world, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, if you yield your members over to the world and the careers of this world and the things of this world and the mind of this world, then your father is the devil according to the Bible. But if you would yield your members to God, to godliness, to holiness, to the power of the heavens, amen. And say, here I am, Lord. I'm not my own. I'm yours. I'm your servant. Lord God, I'm here to give myself as a living sacrifice. I know in your Bible and in your word, it says that that's my reasonable service. That's just what's expected of me, brothers and sisters. You know, we do something for God and we think we've done something. It's expected of us to give our life as a living sacrifice. It's expected of us to do this on a daily basis. It's expected of us to be crucified all the day long. You see, it's not just a Sunday thing. It's not just a Wednesday night thing. It's not just a Friday night thing. It's a daily thing as you give your life. You're not your own. You're His. And I want a testimony that I can say, I've done all that I know to do, Lord God. I've done all that I know to do, Lord. I've given my life to the best of my ability. I'm sorry, Lord God, that I stumbled and staggered, but I did commit my works unto you. Amen. I want to be able to say that I fought the fight and I kept the faith. Amen. I want to be able to say that, hey, you know, I kept myself from being tainted of the world. I kept myself out of the world. I did not allow these demon spirits to take my life captive and to run my world or my life. Satan's real, brothers. He'll come to kill, steal, and destroy. Oh, that sounds like a fancy scripture. He's real. He plays for real. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to take your life. He wants to take your wife. He wants to take your husband. He wants to take your children. He wants to destroy you. You got to learn to watch and see him coming and moving in. And you got to be wise against his ways. You that win souls are wise, the Bible says. You got to be wise how he moves in and entices. He's smart. He's been doing this a long time. So many times I use the example of a fisherman. Man, they're good with that thing. Boy, they cast it out there. Crank a little bit. Tug on it a little bit. Boy, they make that thing look real, don't they? They wiggle it a little bit, and they go like that, and pow, they got him one. Satan does the same way. Boy, he'll put something right in there. He knows what looks good. He knows what that taste bud's looking for. He knows what them eyes are lusting after. Boy, and he'll dangle it right there in your face. Boy, that's looking good. You know what it could be to a man called to preach the gospel? You see, Satan knows how to play, guys. He's going to put that little church in front of him. He's going to put that big congregation in front of him. Boy, look at that, man. Boy, look at all the people, man. You're up there preaching, boy, and they're saying, "Whoa, man, there's the pastor, praise God. Boy, look at him. Boy, you the man." And boy, the old Satan's going to put that right there in front of you. Get you a doctor's degree. Be a theologian, man. Go to this institution. Go ahead. Boy, he's going to put it all right there and make it available. And you can stand for a pill. Yes, I'm doctor. You say, "Oh, you just mocked that because you ain't got one. Done been there and watched it, and I don't want it. I done had the opportunities. I didn't want it. I watched too many men that were filled with the Holy Ghost and filled with the Spirit of God that were walking in the demonstrated power of God and went off to seminary and come back dead. And they took their mind. They took their thoughts. They took the will of God. And they taught them, this is the way preachers do and this is what we do. And they teach them how to have their building funds. And they teach them how to expect, you know, and how to balance their checkbooks and how to do those things. They don't teach them to walk in the demonstrated power of God. They don't teach them to go when they have nothing to go with. They don't teach them to expect miracles. That comes by the Holy Ghost and by Him only. And they take and ruin because they make it all psychology. They counsel people out of psychology instead of out of the demonstrated power of God. It sounds like you're mad at them all, Brother Rob. No, I'm just talking to you saying that there is a God and He's real and He's alive and He's all power. We got to expect. The doctor on the wall isn't going to deliver your wife. It isn't going to deliver your husband. It isn't going to deliver your mother, your father. The certificate there. The devil's not going to walk in and say, "Wow, look at that, man. This guy's got a doctor's degree in theology." But when he recognizes the power of the Holy Ghost in a little baby, he fears and he trembles. Amen. Somebody says, "You know what? It is written, Satan. It is written. You're not going to take this from me, thus saith the Lord. You're not going to steal this away from me. I know you came to kill, steal, and destroy, but I'm a supine authority over you in the name of Jesus Christ. I say, get behind me, Satan. You say, that's the Bible. I say, yea and amen. But then that Satan could speak back and said, hey, Paul, I know, and Jesus, I know, but who are you? I'll tell you who I am. I'm a blood-bought, born-again, filled with the Holy Ghost, Son of God, amen. And I mean what I say, amen, and I'm going to walk. And 1,000 might fall at my right and 10,000 at my left, but I'm going to stand up testifying the Lord Jesus Christ. A man come to me and he said, Brother Rob, are you filled with the Holy Ghost? And I said, Brother, let me tell you something. I said, a devil of hell might grab me by the ankles and dig them claws in into my ankles and the blood could be running and he could be dragging me into the pits of hell, and I'm testifying Jesus Christ all the way. I'm testifying my God, my Savior, my salvation, that He's a good God and a just God and a righteous God, and He will deliver me. Amen. He'll go into the depths of hell. He'll go into the highest height, and He will deliver me. You got to have faith, amen, and you got to stand. You can't look at the circumstances that are thrown at you. You can't look at the lying devils that are coming around you. You can't look at the failures of mankind. You can't look at the stock market. You can't look at the economic strength of this land. You got to say, I'm a child of God. I'm born of God. And I'm going to be about the Father's business. Amen. And I'm going to do what God's asked me to do.
Amen.
Amen. And go with it and do it. Amen. Be obedient. Walk with Him. Talk with Him. Fellowship with Him. And listen to Him. We got to separate ourselves from this world. We got to be a separate people. Amen. We got to come out of the unclean thing. I read a little thing. It was from General Booth, I think was the name, the founder of the Salvation Army. And this man, he died in 1912, so he made this statement sometime before then. But he perceived something by the Spirit of God, and he prophesied this. And he said, I see what's coming, but he said, we're going to have church without the Holy Ghost, politics without God, church without God. The man saw something, and it's surely upon us. He said, salvation without repentance. It's sure enough there. They're offering salvation to people. Hey, you're a member of this church? Hey, you go to church here? Hey, you said this prayer? Oh yeah, you got salvation. Man, you stood before Billy Graham and repeated a prayer after him. Oh, I confess with my mouth. Did you believe in your heart? There's a difference. There's a lot of people confess with your mouth, but they don't believe in their heart. Man's heart's continually evil and wicked and deviceful. Man doesn't know his own heart. So did you believe in your heart? You see, this is the problem, brothers and sisters. People that have the form of godliness, but deny the power. It's in perilous times, like we just read here. We see it all around us. We've got iniquities to break. And to get under authority by the Spirit of God. There's things, moms and dads, that you need to break in your own lives for you could help your children get the victory of them before they carry them. I tell moms and dads on a continuous basis, the problems that you're having, your children are going to have the same problems. You say, well, and you're cursing them by saying that. No, you have already cursed them by doing that. See, you're taking the Word of God and making it of no authority and no power. Wives, submit yourself to your husbands. Yeah, that's the problem. My wife never submitted to me. Well, it might be the problem you didn't submit to God and godliness and holiness and virtue and righteousness, and that you didn't submit to long-suffering and goodness, and you didn't lay your life down. You see, it's not the other person's fault. You are inexcusable. We cannot blame the wife. The wife can't blame the husband. You understand that? We're accountable. We're responsible. What did Jesus do? Did he say, well, it's because this guy's no good, because this one's bad? He took it to himself. And he applied it. Are you willing to lay your life down? The Bible said we the sons of God, we the Christians are willing to lay our life down for our brother. Are you willing to lay your life down for your wife? Are you willing to lay it down for your husband? Are you willing to lay it down? Are you willing to sacrifice your life? You know, if it says to be crucified all the day long, and there's a daily crucifixion and a daily resurrection, you got to realize if you want to be partakers with the resurrection, if you want to be a child of the resurrection, the only way that you can be a child of the resurrection is you must be crucified first. You say, I don't know. Well, the Bible said we were crucified with Christ. Well, I'll receive that, you know. Yeah, I died with Him on Calvary, and I say, yea and amen. And He's the same to every generation. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. So yes, you're going to be crucified today with Him too. If you were crucified with Him 2,000 years ago, and if you were crucified with Him before the world ever was in the foundation of this world, then you're going to be crucified with Him today. And you're going to mortify the deeds of your mind, of your man. You're going to mortify your wants, your desires. You're going to mortify your life, and you're going to kill it out. You're going to get it out of the way and say, here I am, Christ, you live. The life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in Him. That's what we have to do. Come on, saints, that's what we have to do. Oh, I just want to play church. I just want to have a form of godliness. Oh, I just want to be religious. Well, all you're doing is soothing your own little conscience is all you're doing. Well, you know, my preacher's fault. Well, you know, it's this fault. No, it ain't no one's fault. You're inexcusable. You say, well, who's bewitched us? You're inexcusable, is what the reply was. There ain't nobody bewitched you. You're inexcusable. We've got the Word of God. We got the power of God. We got the Scriptures of God. It doesn't matter if the whole world comes against you. It don't matter if your whole family comes against you. You've got the Word of God and you're going to stand and you're not going to be moved. And when you've done everything that you know to do, you continue to stand and let God have His way. You see, we look at things and say, oh man, I don't know. No, God's having His way in the evil and in the good. And you trust Him and you stand in faith and you'll see that it works for your good. Some of the time, part of the time, maybe, no. Every single time it works for your good. The things that look so wretched, so bad, so ungodly is working for your good because it's going to get you to the place where God could have you. That God could have you for His own, amen. He's jealous over you, He says. It's a godly jealousy. He don't want to share you with your mind. He don't want to share you with the world. He don't want to share you with Satan. The Bible said if you love your own children more than you do Him, you're not worthy of Him. He don't want to share you with your children. He don't want to share you with your grandchildren. He wants you, all of you. You say, I don't know if I could serve a God like that. Well, let me tell you, if you'll find that in Revelation and you give Him everything you got and lay your life down, He'll make you one of the best fathers, one of the best grandfathers, one of the best mothers. He'll make you the best brother, the best sister. And you'll find out when you was loving people on your own humanistic love, that you'll find out that that is so far from what the true love of God is. Sometimes the true love of God will demonstrate itself and it looks terrible. It's like, my, is this the love of God? I'm sure the animal activists, when you take the machete out and chop the head off of a rattlesnake, the animal, man, that's a terrible thing. They killed that rattlesnake. Well, let me tell you something. Sometimes the things of God said, go into that city. And He said, kill every man, every woman, every livestock, every animal. Bring nothing out. And you think, where's the love of God in that? Is it because that mind of those people were trying to spoil or trying to devour the purity of the mind of God, the mind of Christ? He said, get that thing out of the way. That's where we're at today, brothers and sisters. There is a mind, a religious mind, that has infiltrated the churches of America and throughout the world. And it's trying to get us to line up with that mind and walk in that mind and think like it thinks. And we got to reject it. We got to deny it. And we got to stay with the Bible and stay with the Word of God and let this Word be true. And like the Bible says, every man be a liar. And like it said here in the end times, we got to recognize what's happening in the end time. What kind of mind has come forth? We got to recognize what kind of mind it is that's in our head. Is it the mind of Christ? Are you thinking like God today? Are you thinking like Christ today? Have you received His mind? Again, the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Can you think in the way of equality to God? Can you think that you're equal with God? And you say, man, I'm afraid to even think. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I'm equal with God. You say, oh my goodness, Brother Rob. You can't say that. Well, I'll say it again. I'm equal with God. Is it because of my goodness? Is it because I preach? Is it because I fast? Is it because I pray? Is it because... No, it's not like that whatsoever at all. He said He made me joint heirs with Him. Do you realize what an heir is? When you marry a woman and she becomes an heir to your inheritance, guess what? If you don't believe me that she's equal with you, just wait until you try to divorce her. The judge is going to tell you, oh yeah, she's equal with you. She gets half everything you got. The Lord done better than that. He gave me everything that pertained to life. He didn't give me half. He said He'd give me everything. Amen? Everything. I'm bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. I'm not in my mind, I'm in His mind. He's given me everything that pertaineth unto life. And you say, well, you gotta be careful talking like that. I wasn't talking like that, it was Him. I'm just telling you what He done for me, amen. He's given me everything. I'm a son of God. I'm living forever. I can't die. I pass from death unto life. I'm eternal. I'm sealed in and hid away. That's the way I could talk. Why? Because I'm a son of God. Because I'm eternal. I could talk to you as a man if you'd like. Oh, me. Oh, my back hurts. Man, I've been all congested and tied up. My nose has been running. And I just don't feel really all that good. I think I got a fever. Oh, my back hurts. Man, I'm a wretched individual, man. I'm a sorry, no good, worthless hunk of dung. Boy, isn't this encouraging? I want to encourage you, man. Oh, wretched man that I am. But I could say somebody's delivered me from this body of death. I want to speak to you as unto spirituals. I want to speak to you as a son of God. I want to speak to you at the authority and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I recognize the man part that's a sinner, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But I've got to crucify him. I've got to kill him. I've got to put him under my feet. I've got to tell him to shut his mouth, that he's not having his way. Sometimes I've got to tell him you're not going to eat. Sometimes I've got to tell him you're not going to sleep. Sometimes I've got to tell him to just get out of the way and to shut up. Well, you ever talk to yourself like that? I do it all the time. Help us, Jesus. Has the Lord ever told you to shut up? He asked me. There's a time that he don't want us to speak his word, and he'll tell you to shut your mouth. Have you ever been guilty of trying to take pearls to swine? We've all been there, haven't we? And he'll say, don't do that. We got to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. I love you all and appreciate you. Hope said something to encourage you in the gospel. Brethren, let's examine ourselves and see if we be in the faith. Let's take heed to the things that we hear, for we won't let these things slip at any given time. Let's start pressing into the things of God, the kingdom of God. Let's make ourselves available to God. Let's not be satisfied with our life as it is today or yesterday. Let's not be satisfied with that. Let's press in and say, you know what, Lord? I'm going to get a vision. The Bible said you perish without one. Say, I'm going to get me a vision, and I'm going to be busy about the Father's business. I'm going to start doing something for the Lord. I'm going to start making myself available to the things of God and the kingdom of God. I'm going to start yielding to His mind and His voice. I'm going to start being obedient. If you're obedient, praise God. If you're not, then look for sacrifice. And you'll see it. Obedience is better than sacrifice. If you're not being obedient to His word, you're going to find sacrifice in your life. Well, what about if you are obedient? It's better than the sacrifice. Sometimes there's sacrifices going, Jesus Christ sacrificed His life. Was it because of disobedience? No, it's because of the disobedience of humanity. The Lord will allow you to suffer for others could see good when good comes. He'll help you in the present day truth by allowing you to suffer for the name of Christ, that others could see that God is still in the earth and still alive and still well. The Bible says that if you do not believe that God is now, God is in the flesh, then you're Antichrist. So don't talk about the God that was or the one that's coming. Talk about the one that is. God is in me. God is now. I am a son of God now. I'm walking in the Spirit now. I'm led by the Spirit of God now. The kingdom is within me. Jesus Christ is present now. He's dwelling with me, walking in me. He's in me and I'm in Him. He's through me and I'm through Him. He's present because we came in His name. I'm not looking for the coming of the Lord. I am the coming of the Lord because He's in me. And it's no longer me speaking, but it's Him speaking through me. He said, when you was in prison, they visited me not, and I said, but Lord, when was that? He said, what you've done to the least of these. What you've done to the least of these, my brethren, is what you've done unto me. So yes, we're still, the Lord is visiting the people in the prisons today because He's in us. The Lord is visiting the people in the hospitals today because He's in us. You see, He's here, He's present. And if you can't believe that He's dwelling in humanity in the flesh, then you're Antichrist. He says that He never left us or forsook us. See, people are teaching like, well, you know, over there, we watched Him ascend up into the heavens. And man, we've just been bounced around here and tossed around for 2,000 years. He's no longer around. What a terrible doctrine. What did He tell them? He said, go and tarry there until you're endued with power. Go there and tarry there in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. What is the power? It was Him coming back. Is that right? The Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost said these three are one. So the Holy Ghost came back. I mean, I could take you in the Bible and read it down and He came back. Oh, I'm waiting for the return, Lord. He already come back. Amen. He came back and He filled us with His Spirit. Hallelujah. He came back and empowered us. He's coming back every day. And He's in us and walking in us and speaking. Well, don't you believe in the returning? The Bible said, why they gazed in the sky, says, in like manner that you see Him go, He'll come back in like manner. Is that how He's coming back to the church? No, that is not how He's coming back to the church. When He comes back in like manner, the church is with Him in like manner. Amen. This body's been changed in that moment, in the twinkling of an eye, from mortal to immortal, from telestial to celestial, yonder from corruptible to incorruption. That body goes through the metamorphosis and the change, and we come back with Him. Amen? That's what the Bible teaches. So, you know, we're looking on the coming of the Lord. We are the coming of the Lord because He's in us. If He comes, two or three come together in His name, He's in the midst of us. You say, I don't know, man, that's scary. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. That's why sometimes we don't see the demonstrated power of God is for the reason we don't believe it. And we don't believe He's here. They had me laying on a thing, rushing me into a trauma unit. And the Lord spoke to my wife, said, be still and know that I'm God. Peace came to her. And the ambulance driver seen this piece over, like, why ain't this woman, man, all torn to pieces and broken up? Because she had a piece that surpassed all understanding because she had a visitation from God. Amen. Boy, someday, Lord, if you were just here. Said that at Lazarus Day. Boy, if you would have been here, Lord. He said, I'm here all the time. I've never left you nor forsaken you. How could He say I've never left you or forsaken you if we're waiting on Him to come? How could I say that He's not here if He said two or three gather in His name and He's in the midst? How could I say He's not here? Why am I looking for Him when He's here? Amen. Why can't I say He's not here when He's been in the midst of us all the time? You see, we got to get a revelation and understanding. He said, my kingdom is without observation. You want a kingdom with Him set up a chair like this right here and set up a chair and say, here I am. I'm ruling all the world. That's why He's going to come to the Jews. They're looking for an earthly promise. I got a heavenly promise. You see, we got to rend the veil and understand this. Well, Brother Rob, you're weird. And I like it. I'm peculiar. I like the sound of that too. That's Bible. I'm just telling you the word. Set your hope in Christ. Set your trust in Christ. Don't think for a moment he's left you. Don't think that you're standing by yourself. Don't think that it's impossible, because he said he makes the impossible possible. When you see something happening in your life, in your family, in your midst, in your marriage, wherever it's at, just look at it and say, Lord, you're having your way in this. It may look evil, but you're having your way in it, and I trust you. Amen. Let me yield to you. Let me listen to you. Let me walk in obedience to you. Amen. And he'll move in your behalf. Don't take it in your own power. Don't take it and try to work it out in your own wisdom. It won't work. It'll never work. Submit to him and say, okay, God. Man, I come to a place all the time. I fall on my face before the Lord and I say, Lord God, I don't know what to do. I don't have it, Lord. I don't have the wisdom nor the understanding. You say, that's a bad confession. No, it isn't. Because he said, when I'm weak, he'll make me strong. And sometimes I got to confess that I'm weak. Sometimes I say, oh, Lord God, this is beyond my power. This is beyond my means. This is beyond my mind. This is beyond my understanding. And I know your ways aren't my ways, but I'm going to have to yield, and you're going to have to show me how you're going to do this one. And he will. It's a good place to come. Come to that place that you've exhausted everything you know to do. That you've exhausted everything you don't know no more to do. Then you quit doing what you were doing. Brother Don said the same thing here to me the other day that Brother Chuck told me about Einstein. He said, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again, expecting a different result. You keep doing the same thing over and over and you're expecting a different result? So what are you? You're insane. So quit doing the same thing over and over. Say, okay, Lord, I've come to a revelation. My way's not working. Praise God. Show me your way. Lord, here I am to yield to you. I need help. Pray that God would grant wisdom to you, grant understanding to you, grant knowledge to you. Amen. And walk in the power of the Spirit. Walk in the authority of the gospel. Don't have a form of godliness and being stumbled around and knocked around and being beat around by Satan all of your life. Get the power of God. Receive the Spirit of godliness, the revelation of godliness, and receive the Spirit of godliness and walk in the demonstrated power of God. And he'll help you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand together. I love y'all and appreciate you. Be in prayer, brothers and sisters. I mean, if I said, hey, if you've got problems in your household, if you've got problems over at your house, raise your hand. I'm going to put up both of them. But you know what? I know a problem solver, amen. Man. His name's Jesus. Amen. I know a man that has the solution to all problems. Amen. And his name's Jesus. And I can't find the solution to the matter in my own merit, my own thoughts, and my own mind. So I got to yield to him. Amen. I got things going on in my family, in my life, and around me that I say, God, you know, I don't know. How do I do this? I fear. I don't want to yield to something or give something or strengthen something. Do you realize that we can strengthen demon spirits and people by fellowshipping them? And they don't feel the sense of the rejection because of their wretchedness? So, you know, we got to be very careful. How do we do this? I don't want to put out if God's bringing in. And I don't want to bring in if God's putting out. Do you understand that? There's a time for plucking up. There's a time for planting. There's a time for sowing, there's a time for reaping. There's a time for being born, there's a time of dying. You see, I want to be in the will of God. I want to know which one that I'm supposed to be doing at that time. You understand that? So let's pray and be in prayer. You know, if everything's going okay over in your household, and everything's going fine in yours, I know most all of you. And I could talk about the problems that's going on over here in this guy's house and this brother's house. I could talk about the things. I know that there's not an individual standing here in the sound of my voice this morning that isn't got complications, and that's where Satan's trying to come in and kill and destroy. Amen? So we need a message like this morning that we could get hope and faith and trust, and we could stand. And we could say, wait a minute, Lord, you're allowing this. There's nothing out of your control. There's nothing to just by chance Satan come here to beat our heads off or beat them out, our brains out. You know, Lord, you're having your way in this because you're a good God and a just God. So if he's having it his way, when Lazarus was laying there, the Lord had his way in it. He could show that he is the resurrection. Not that he was or was going to be, that he is. Amen? So the things that's happening in your life, God is going to let these things happen for you could show that you have all authority, all power, because you are born of God, or you are a child of God, and that you are born of the Spirit of God, and Satan's not going to move you. Amen? He's not going to cause you to fall. When you've done all you can, the Bible says to continue to stand. When you've done everything that you know to do, it says stand. And when you've done all you can to stand, what did it tell you to do? Continue to stand some more. So I'm going to continue to stand. Amen? So if it causes 1,000 on my right or 10,000 at my left, whatever, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to continue to stand, amen. And God's a good God, a just God, a righteous God, and he's having his way, amen. And I'm yielding to him. If he has one vessel to honor and another to dishonor, I'm yielding to him. He's a good God, amen. And I trust him, amen. And it all works for my good because I love him. I don't question the love I have for him. I question many times my deeds and things that, you know, like, Lord, it's not an action of deeds of disobedience. It's an action of deeds of not being obedient enough. That's the things that trouble me. It's not because of the things that I do. It's because of the things that I don't do that trouble me. Amen. I want to walk in the demonstrated power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's sing a song or two and we'll close. The altars are open this morning. Are there others that want to come in the altars this morning? Amen. If you just want to come in the altars this morning to pray that God will anoint you and God will strengthen you, that God will hear your prayers, that God will grant the wisdom to you, the understanding to you, the knowledge to you of how to move on and how to see the accomplishments that need to be made in your life. I need God, brothers and sisters. I need His mind. I need His spirit of revelation. I need His power. I need His authority. I need His mind. I need His will. I need everything He's got. Amen. I don't stand before you and in some kind of powerless, weak state. I stand before you in need of more of God and the power of His salvation. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Fill me with your Spirit, Almighty God. Fill me with the Holy Ghost and the power, Lord God. Give me that endurance, Lord God, to live for you. Give me that enduring power that I can continue, Lord God, all the way to the end. Endue me with power, Lord God, that I could be led by the Spirit of God and walk for you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. We love you and praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord God, let there be a filling of your Spirit, Lord God. Fill cups to overrunning this day, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Because He lives.
It's because He lives, brothers and sisters, that we have life. And we have power. We have authority. We have endurance. Amen. It's because He lives. It's because He's alive. It's because He's well. It's because He's on the throne. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Love you, Lord.
And life is worth the
thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's sing it again. Amen. Our God's alive and He's well. Amen. Did you come into the altars with the business this morning? Did you come in with somebody in mind that needs help this morning? I came with somebody on my mind today. Amen. Hallelujah. And it was Jesus. I got Him on my mind. Amen. Hallelujah. But when He's on my mind, He puts others in my mind. He puts those ones that have fallen on the wayside that we could go along like that good Samaritan and we could bandage them up and that we could bring life abundant and eternal and holy unto them. Amen. Let's yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm standing. Hallelujah. Oh, sometimes I might feel a little weak in my knees, amen. Might feel a little bit feeble, but I know, amen, I can feel the tug on the heart. I can feel the strength and the power of the Holy Ghost. I can feel Him moving within my members like rivers of living water. I can feel that fire down in my bosom that burns all those things out and all that unbelief and all that chaff. It removes it and gets it out. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost and the power of the living God, amen. I've been filled with His power. Power, amen, that I can overcome the things of this world and overcome Satan, and then Satan can't touch me, amen, nor can he touch you, because you are a child of God, amen. You are filled with the power of God. He gave you everything that pertaineth unto life. I feel His Spirit, amen. Let's give Him a hand. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord Jesus. Somebody say, I love you, Jesus. Come on, somebody say, I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Confess with your mouth. Believe with your heart. Say, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. It's not hard to say, I love you, Jesus. Amen. I'm in love with Jesus. Amen. He's my God. He's my King. He's my Lord. He's my salvation. Amen. He's the lily of my valley. Amen. The bright and morning star. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I might just get excited here and go to preaching in a minute. You ever been in a Pentecostal service before, brother? Amen. Say, I don't know about this stuff, man. Amen. This is the kind of stuff that sets you free.
Amen.
This is the kind of stuff that wins families to God. Amen. This is the kind of stuff that gets people delivered from devils. Amen. This is the kind of stuff that makes broken bodies well and mends them. This is the kind of stuff that adds a number of days and an increase of life. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. We all have different ways of worship and praise, but I know one thing I have to have, and that's an expectation of my God to move in the affairs, amen, to move in my behalf, to come and set me free and to deliver me and fill me with His Spirit, amen. Without His Spirit, the Bible said you're none of His. Let's sing another song, amen, and we'll close the service directly. I got my mind made up. I'm going to walk with Jesus. I'm going to talk with Jesus. I got my mind made up. I've decided, brothers and sisters, I'm not going to yield my members to Satan. I'm going to yield my members to God, amen. I have decided that I'm going to be led by the Spirit. I'm going to walk in the Spirit, and I'm going to command my house, and I'm going to command the house of God, and I'm going to command Satan to get out of my midst and out of my presence. I have decided, amen, to walk in the power of the gospel, amen. I have decided that I'm going to follow the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Have you made up your mind? Thank you, Lord. Speak it, brothers and sisters, by the authority and the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I have decided that I'm going to be an example of godliness and holiness. I have decided, amen, that I'm going to be full of the Spirit of God. I've decided to die. I've decided to be crucified. I've decided to suffer. I've decided to get out of the way and let Him live. Amen. I've got my mind made up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. I've decided that I'm going to walk in the power and the authority of the resurrection. Amen. I've decided to yield my members to the members of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Make your mind up. Who is your God? Who is your Lord? Who is your King this morning? Thank you, Lord. I want some of you sisters to gather around this little sister. The Spirit of the Lord's already answering your prayer. Just by the spoken word like that. Sometimes people are afraid to speak, afraid to ask God. They don't talk to Him the way He wants them to. Amen. But sometimes we've got to talk to Him. The Bible says we confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart. Amen. And sometimes we've got to speak forth. Sometimes we've got to say, you know what? I'm tired of this, man. We're going to anoint this little sister with oil. Amen. Let's pray together, saints. Just close your eyes and lift your hands up. It's a little sister standing in the altars, wanting deliverance, wanting to be walking in the will and the power of God. Amen. She's done lived long enough to see Satan rob, steal, and kill. She's seen the powers of the satanic darkness already take too much of her life. Amen. And she's wanting to yield to God. She's wanting help. She's wanting strength. What a beautiful place to come to. Amen. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray, saints. Oh, mighty God, we love you, Lord God. Oh, Father God, as I feel the anointing and the virtue and the power of the living God. Can you feel the anointing, brothers and sisters? Can you feel that Spirit of God? I feel the Spirit. I feel the virtue of the living God. Most gracious Father, as I anoint this little sister right now with oil. Hallelujah. Oh, mighty God, Satan, I rebuke you, and you're a liar and the father of all lies. Oh, Father God, I thank you that you are well pleased with this little sister, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that you've granted the Spirit of life and the power and the authority of the Holy Ghost that she could walk, Father God. And as she walks through this valley, Lord God, a valley of decision, Almighty God, we pray that the decisions will be godly and holy and virtuous and righteous. Oh, Father God, gird her up and strengthen her. Anoint her with the Holy Ghost, Almighty God. And Father God, as I feel the anointing in that quickening spirit, I impart right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, the Holy Ghost right now in the name of Jesus. The power, Lord God, the authority, Lord God, to be an overcomer. The authority, Lord God, to walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit and to endure till the end. Father, I pray right now that this can be received in the name of Jesus. Right now, Father, as I feel the mighty power and the presence of God imparting the power and the authority of the Holy Ghost right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lift the hand just a little bit higher. Praise God. Amen. Somebody give the Lord Jesus a hand. Amen. Give Him a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. God's word never returns null, never returns void. Hallelujah. His word is real. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I felt the touch of the Spirit of God, of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm glad I came to the house of God today. Are you glad you came to the house of God today? Amen. I'm glad I came to the house of God today. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Ghost is no different today than it was in the early church. Amen. When they came before the apostles of old and they laid hands on them and imparted the Holy Ghost. Amen. It ain't no different today. Can you believe?
Amen.
It's all you got to do is believe. It's all you got to do is believe and receive. They believed, amen. And the Spirit of God moved on them. Amen. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Y'all love the Lord?
Amen.
Are you glad you came to the house of God?
Amen.
Amen.
There's
it's okay to have a good time out here, ain't it?
Written down in glory.
Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Just praise Him, saints. Let's give Him a wave offering. Praise you, Lord God. We love you, Jesus.
Written down in glory.
Praise you, Lord God. Let's give Him a wave offering, saints. Wave that glory back to Him. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord, and we thank you, and we praise you, we worship you. Somebody say, I love you, Jesus. Come on, let's say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I've seen people say, I love you, Jesus, and it break that yoke off of them. Break that bondages off of them. Sometimes he needs to hear it from you. Amen. Sometimes the devil needs to hear it come out of your mouth. Say, Satan, shut your mouth. Amen. I got all power over you, Satan. You're a nothing and you're a nobody. We need to tell that power of darkness, that lying member of that fleshly man that comes and talks to you in doubt and unbelief. And we need to have an experience that we need to throw and cast it out. Cast it down and say, shut your mouth, Satan. I'm a child of God. I'm eternal. I'm living forever. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm God's chosen. I'm God's elect. I'm the apple of my Lord's eye. I'm a touch me not. Satan, you can't touch me. You can't get near me. I'm hid away. I'm sealed in. Hallelujah. I'm the redeemed of the Lord, and I'm telling you so. Amen. Because I've received the power of the living God. I've received the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I received His Spirit, amen. The eternal Spirit of the living God, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Can you believe that, saints?
Amen.
It's for you, man. The promise was given to you and your children's children, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You say, well, you're just crazy enough to believe it. I sure am. I'm crazy enough, if you want to call it crazy, whatever you want to call it, amen. But I receive it, I know it, and I believe it. Amen. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just got to believe. Just continue to believe.
Amen.
Amen. And when Satan's done everything he knows to do to bring unbelief and to kill you and destroy you, you just keep believing. Say, you know what? I'm standing on the Word. I believe the Word. I believe in confessing, professing. I believe in speaking. And I've heard the Word. I've spoke the Word. I've received the Word. I'm standing on the Word. Amen.
Praise God.
Ain't nothing He can do. He can't lie to me. He can't steal me. He can't kill me. But He is the Father of all lies. But He's not going to lie to me when I say He ain't going to lie to me. He's not going to tell me He's got something better for me. He's not going to paint some pretty way for me and show me, oh, this is the way of God. I know the way of God. It's a crucified way. It's a way of suffering, amen. But it's good. I rejoice in the day of persecution. I rejoice when they speak all manner of evil against me. I rejoice when they lie against the truth, when they say that I'm the devil. I rejoice in the Lord because they called Him one too. They called Him a wine bibber. They called Him a drunk. They called Him Beelzebub. They called Him the devil, and He loved them. And He said, I love you, amen. Let's fall in love with Jesus before we could do something for Him.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.